It's Here and Now, and we just heard the latest from Ukraine, but let's put it in the context of the country's history. Serhiy Plokhii is a professor of Ukrainian history at Harvard, and he has come in to talk to us. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, let me start with a question that a lot of people have when they hear about all this, which is, what's the difference between Ukraine and the Ukraine, and what should you be saying?
Well, the article was there until Ukraine became independent in 1991, and many people believe that if you use article, you imply that this is not an independent country.
Ah.
And that changed in December of 1991, so preferred way of referring to Ukraine, at least in Ukraine, and for those who study Ukraine abroad, is Ukraine without definite article.
Okay, now let's go back to the point when Ukraine became Ukraine for the first time, which would have been back in 1918, right?
Well, in the 20th century, yes, that's 1917, 1918. This is the first time that Ukraine became independent. But people who proclaimed Ukrainian independence back then, they were tracing their roots all the way back to the Middle Ages, to the state that was called Kievan Rus, centered in Kiev. And again, they adopted as coat of arms of independent Ukraine a symbol of princely power coming from the 10th and 11th century.
But they only had independence at that point for 3 years, right? And then the Russians came in.
Even less than that, in a sense that there were changing governments. There was a war, so different military forces, different political forces changed each other in Kyiv. So, yeah, overall, it's a period of 3 years. But again, even that was interrupted.
And at that point, back in 1921, it split. Two-thirds to Russia, one-third to Poland, right?
Exactly, exactly. That is what happened. And more than that, part of Ukraine, what is today Ukraine, ended up to be as constituent parts of Czechoslovakia or Romania, for example. So the split was four ways. But again, two-thirds roughly went to Russia, as you say, and it became Soviet Republic within the Soviet Union, so the second largest after Russia.
How were the people there treated by the Soviets, though, during the time when Ukraine was controlled by the Soviets?
Well, it is during Soviet control of Ukraine that we have one of the greatest tragedy of Ukrainian people and country in general, and this is the artificial famine of 1932-1933. And from what we know today, it's up to 4 million people died in Ukraine alone. So this is an indication of the treatment of the area, of its people by the Soviet regime.
Why? Why did they treat them that way?
Well, the Soviets wanted grain for industrialization of the country, and they were taking this grain at any price and leaving people to die. So that is one reason. Second reason was that Stalin was really unhappy with pro-independent mood in Ukraine and believed that Ukraine is threat to the Soviet Union, that they are not reliable. And in that sense, the social policies against peasantry, the economic policies and the nationality policy came together and resulted in that major tragedy.
Okay, so independence comes again in 1991 following the fall of the Soviet Union, but it has been politically turbulent since then.
Yes, there were tensions, there were early elections, but till now, till this recent events, what was interesting that this political forces that couldn't agree on much agreed on one thing, that all these issues have to be resolved peacefully. So compromise was the name of Ukrainian political culture since 1991. And to a degree, people who were in power, they understood that they had to do that because of the diversity of the regions, ethnic diversity, historically different traditions, linguistic differences. And it is the current government that is now in power for 3 years that basically violated this unwritten agreement among the elites that issues should be resolved peacefully and on the basis of compromise.
But if the question right now is, does Ukraine move more toward Russia or more toward the West, which do you think that it is more a part of, really?
Well, Ukraine is historically a country that is positioned really on the border. It was positioned on the border between Western Christianity and Eastern Christianity, Christianity and Islam. Jews were an important part of Ukrainian history since 16th century, at least. So there is multicultural character that is there. What we see today and now is certainly the mobilization of the public opinion in general and those who support pro-European direction of Ukrainian policy, and they are prepared to stay on the cold squares and streets of Kyiv now for 3 months. It's really very cold there, and even to die if it is necessary.
Why do you think that this revolution is so much more violent than, say, the Orange Revolution 10 years ago?
Well, this is an excellent question, because the Orange Revolution was going for a shorter period of time, but again, it was peaceful. This one is not peaceful, and one of reasons for that is that it is going for so long. It started really as a really peaceful event, almost a street party. There were concerts and poets were reading their poems and things like that, but because the political elite was unable to reach a compromise that would satisfy people on the streets, eventually that all kind of deteriorated into violence. And I keep government responsible for that and political class in general.
How many Ukrainians have moved to the U.S. and where are they?
Well, the immigration started really in the late 19th century, and those people who came here, they came from part of Ukraine that was part of Austria-Hungary, of Habsburg Empire back then. Then the major new wave of immigration came after the Second World War, and they said the first wave, they went to Pennsylvania mostly. The second wave, they ended up on the East Coast. New York, for example, is a major center of Ukrainian immigration. And when it comes to the post-1991 immigration, good part of Ukrainians went to the West Coast, to California in particular, and those were mostly Protestants, Baptists who were persecuted during the Soviet times. And the rest, again, it's dispersed all over the country, so I can't point to one specific. Again, New York continues to be a major center. Philadelphia continues to be a major center of Ukrainian immigration.
Serhiy Plokhy is professor of Ukrainian history at Harvard University. Professor Plokhy, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you.
And as we continue to follow the developments in Ukraine, we are also following other stories, including this one from Washington. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is expected to appoint a senior officer to be in charge of military ethics. This comes in the wake of several high-profile ethics problems, including an incident involving nuclear missile launch officers who cheated on their proficiency exams. Also, that controversial Jeopardy contestant Arthur Chu will return to play on the show this coming Monday. We've talked about him. We've talked to him. We've got the whole interview up at hereandnow.org. He uses game theory. It tries to go right for those daily doubles. Well, a lot of viewers are very unhappy with him, and they will be talking about that and the pushback from fans later today on All Things Considered. This is Here and Now.